Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening, I just want to say welcome. Some of you guys that's been listening for a while, I also want to say thanks for your support and sharing these messages or sharing this website out to those around you. It's, to me, it's so important to reach out to every means we have necessary, via social media or at our work or as we're shopping or walking, to always have a heart for those around us, to tell them about the hope that's in us. And this ministry, one of the goals of it is to do that, right? One of many. The other one is to disciple, to train, and to look into God's word and let God's word be the ultimate guideline for us as we walk into this world and live our life to this world, that our light will shine among those. Sometimes that light, it repels, right? Darkness. The darkness around us, that has influenced individuals around us, and they don't want to see that light, so they run. And other times, those will be attracted to our light, and they want to know what is different about each and every one of us. And that's so important when those opportunities come, that you pour your heart out into that person. So this is your first time listening. I just want to say once again, welcome. Several sermons. If you're listening to this sermon right now, you can scroll down. You can see multiple sermons. I have some more on the archives, all free, right? Try to post devotionals throughout the week. Afternoon devotionals. I couldn't this week. There was some issues with my website, so I didn't get to post. Normally through Monday through Friday, I try to post devotionals. I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram. I'm on Twitter or X, so you can connect with me on those ways. Also here in the homepage, when you first click on the website, you can scroll down. There's an email. You can email me through that. That goes straight to my Yahoo email. If you do, just make sure you put in the subtitle Crucify for Christ Ministries. That's Crucify for Christ Ministries. So ministry, that's singular, so that it won't go to my, if it does go to my junk or my spam, I'll be able to pull that question up. Probably the best way is through Facebook to ask me a question. Some of you guys that have been listening for a while, you have my personal phone number, so you know how to reach through calling me or text. We've been going through Psalms last few months, doing a Psalm series. I'm going to kind of take a little break from that and preach some individual messages. And with Halloween coming up and Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'm just going to try to center a few messages around those topics. That's the goal, right? So, but if you want to listen to what's of the Psalms, I think we stopped at Psalm 11. I created a different tab, and it's called Learning the Psalms. You can go there, you can hear the intro, and you can listen to all the messages on Psalms up to this point. The goal is eventually do all 150 Psalms. It's one of my passions, one of the projects that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart, as many. I'm also maybe focusing on writing a book on spiritual warfare. Started a little bit on that. So keep me in your prayers. Plus, I work a 40-hour work week. And then sometimes I'm in church physically preaching or teaching. I'll be at a church out of town this week, Sunday. I'll be out of town to preach physically at a church. So you guys keep me in your prayers on that. But we're taking a break from the Psalms. Today, we'll be in Luke 15, 11 through 32. That's Luke 15, 11 to 32. That is our key principle passage that I'm going to draw you to as we go through this. The message is overall beginning is this, and it I'll word into a question. And I encourage, if you're taking notes, just write that down. Is where is your heart at? Where is your heart at? So let's look at Luke 15, 11 through 32. We'll read through this. You have your Bibles. I usually read from the KJV, so if you have an NKJV or NSAB or NIV or NLT, it'll word differently. But verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall unto me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with rottenness living. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave him unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise, I will go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion. He ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, he is found. And they began to be merry. And now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh in the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father killed a fatted calf, because he is receive him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore he came to his father out and entreat him. And he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he heard, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thy. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead, and he's alive again, and was lost, and is found. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, thanking you for this opportunity to just get into your word, Lord. I pray as I go through this, Lord, that the Holy Spirit just pours through me. Give me the words to say to who needs to hear this today. Speak into their life, what may be going on, the the pain and the heartaches of this life can be overwhelming sometimes. And it's easy to lose focus and hope, to lose heart. But God, I pray over there, those that are maybe struggling right now, I lift them up in your holy mighty name. For they faint not and they endure to the end. That they put their eyes firmly on you. Not on this world, not even on themselves, but on you. And that they seek your will and pray, Lord Father, your will be done, not mine. Give me strength to keep pressing on. Give me faith to endure to the end. Although my world may be crushing all around me, help my eyes better focus on you. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Now, if you have been in a church for a while, this parable, this story that Jesus Christ is telling to make an impact on those that were listening, this parable is called the Lost Son. And maybe this is the first time you're hearing this preach on or taught on. This is one of my favorite parables in the Bible. And when we look at this parable that Jesus Christ is telling, there's three individuals here that most preachers, pastors, or teachers, they will look at or they will expound on. That is the young son, the father, and the older son. So there's at least three sermons that can be preached or taught from this passage. On the father, he can be seen as God. The older son, he could be seen as the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were experts on the law in those days. And on the young son, which I want to home in on today. As I said a little bit earlier, the point of the overarching point of this sermon is to ask to you today and this week for you to reflect and think on this question, where is your heart at? Where is your heart at? There is a father here who had two sons. One was young, the other older. Now, when we hear these two words, young and old, we can picture a young kid who is naive and foolish, while the older is not as naive and foolish. And this could paint a vivid picture or produce a thought that can hold some truth, but not always. And yes, that will preach, like how the young can believe they know what is best for them. But I want to look at the heart condition of this young son. It's safe to assume he was raised right, he was taught right, but the truth did not take lodging into his heart. In other words, he did not have the right priorities. Listen to verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall unto me. And he divided unto them his living. Both, right, the older and the young were divided their living. See, the young son, he wanted his portion, his inheritance, his fortune, then and now, not later, but now. This would have been a slap in the father's face. Son spitting in the father's face. Why? Because the portion was not meant for him at that time. But he did not care. Why? Because his heart was beating for the wrong purpose or purposes. He was looking at the world and he was listening to the world. Understand, Satan will turn the volume up on the world to drain out the father's voice. And when Satan can drain the father's voice out, He can inject the lies. So we should not rule out the hand in motion here, the influence on this son's life. Satan is a liar. John 8:44 tells us here, ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and not in truth, because there is not truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a liar. Jesus Christ is pointing to the ultimate liar. Satan does not have our best interests. And when you look at this passage in John 8:44, there's a multitude, right? But he's speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And part of that parable here with the older son is looking at the religious group of that time. But we're not really going to go into that. But I want you to get this, that Satan will speak lies in your life if you let him. One of these lies is that God the Father is holding out on you. The oldest lie in the book, the good book. Think of Eve and Adam and in the garden, and that old serpent, the devil, comes hissing this lie that did God really say that? Here, listen to Genesis 3. It looks like verse 1 says, and now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice the serpent here, as I view as Satan, but some may look at this as just an animal that Satan was using. Regardless how you want to view this, we all can agree Satan is at play here. He is challenging God's word, God's truth. Listen to the verses 2 through 6 in Genesis 3. And it said, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, that is in the middle of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God do know in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Eve, Adam, they allow Satan to lie to them. And one of these lies is God is holding out on them. He's challenging God's truth. Satan told them they would be like gods. And he uses the plural word for gods here for a reason. They will be not like the God Almighty, the one who sees all, knows all, but a perversion of gods. A gods that seek after their own pleasures than the things that truly our good Father wants us to seek after. And this is what happening to the young son. He has everything that he needs, but he wants to leave this place of safety and go out into this world. He had it made, but he felt that his father was holding something out on him. He did not guard his heart, but allowed Satan to invade his heart and mind. This led him to inappropriately, disrespectfully asking for his portion, his inheritance, what he was believed he was entitled to. And we see that the father divided this portion to his sons. What happens next? Let's look at verse 13 through 16. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Their waste is substance with rottenness living that's reckless and immoral. We spent all. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swines as the pigs, and he would faint have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He takes the portion, his inheritance, he burns it up. He burns it up with the filthiness of this world. And as I was saying, that rottenness living, that's translated reckless and immoral living. He believes a lie. He took it hook, line, and sinker. Let me tell you, my friend, this world will leave you high and dry. Have tasted of this world, and I fell for that lie. Almost lost my life to this world, and Satan wanted that. I should be 6 feet under, burning in hell from addiction to cult practice. Allow Satan to have this hole in my hold on my life. It was not for God, I would be dead. I was raised in church. I heard the truth. But I really didn't have mentors in my life to help me expound in what it means to understand and recognize that Satan is a liar. I didn't have mentors in my life to expound scripture to help me recognize and to gauge a good warfare, spiritual warfare. Because of that, Satan is an opportunist. He's seen his opportunity to come at me and to inject this lie that God was holding out. That this old world had way more stuff for me. I let Satan wiggle himself into my life and make me believe that there was a better life out in this world. I found out it was not. I had a heart condition that was fatal. And his son here, he has a heart condition that is fatal. He has spent all his money. He is left with nothing. And what comes his way and others in that land is a famine. A famine, a lack of food. And he could not get any food. He spent all his inheritance and he could not. I pray that America does not truly go into a famine, a food famine. But if you look at history, what happens, lack of food, right? Low supply, high demand leads to a rise in price. And that price, inflation, they can't afford it. And what happens here, he spent his inheritance, his fortune, and he cannot pay the price for food. He was paying a price, all right. Believe me. Believe in that lie Satan gives you. Fall in this world. Fall in this world and thinking this world has a better path for you. Will leave you in a famine. He ends up working for a person and part of the area he was in, and he ended up feeding swines, pigs. He was just in need of food and he was eating the pig's food, right? But guess what? It didn't fill him. He was still empty. I love how the Amplified Bible puts it in this verse 16. He says he would have gladly eaten the pods that the pigs were eating, but they could not satisfy his hunger. No one's giving him anything to eat. Why? Because this world, right, will leave you empty. This world will leave you empty. It's sad to hear about celebrities that are worth millions and some of billions. At the end of their life, they realize they're not taking any of these material things with them. They are sad and they are filled with despair. Why? Because their hearts are in the wrong place. Here's a son, his heart is in the wrong place. He is hopeless, he's empty, but verse 17 through 19 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father had bread enough to spare? I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" He comes to himself. I love that phrase. He comes to himself. He came to himself. He looks at his condition. He looks at this his state. He realized that my father's house, even the servants, got it better than I do right now. When he gets to this breaking point, he's got to make a decision. Do I stay here and die, or do I go back where I can live? He is in so much shame. He does not want to be called a son anymore because he knows that he has sinned right. He says, "I have sin against heaven and my father. I know when I came to the end of myself, I not feel like I deserve to come back to my father God." Right? I was raised in church. I understood that God is our father. I understood he is holy and righteous God. I knew that I have sinned and I deserve hell. Oh, the shame and the guilt that crushed my heart and mind. I can remember as I was hospitalized how my life was so much more at peace when I was and peace and more joy while I was seeking God and wanting to know him more and me less. I came to myself. I really did not get how wonderful and great our God is. The God that we serve. Listen to verse 20 to 24. "And he rose," the young son. He comes to his father. "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. He ran, he fell on his neck, he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found." And they began to be merry. The son rises, he rises up, he comes to his father, and father can see him from a distance, right? Father, he comes to his lost son with so compassion, he falls to his neck and he kissed him. And the son, of course, confessed to his father, and the father already knows, but we need to do this right. He is confessing, he is repenting, he is asking forgiveness. And he repeats what he already done in his mind. He said, "I have sinned against heaven in his sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." What does the father do? He brings the best robe, right? A ring and shoes. He gets his servants to bring forth a calf so they can celebrate his son coming back home. For the father says, "For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." I want to tell you, my friend, God's love beyond what we can find. When his love is that mercy and grace. When we look at his love and this mercy and grace, we see the cross, that old rugged cross. Jesus Christ had to become that lamb, the lamb with no sin, with no blemish. He had to become sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He took the sin of this world on him. His blood had to be shed for us. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, "And by the law, almost all things are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That is, without Jesus Christ dying on a cross, the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of sin. That is His atonement, right? Romans 5, 6 through 11 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commanded His love toward us, in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more being justified, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Thank God for the sacrifice. We look at that sacrifice, that atonement. We look at the cross. We see this grace and mercy, and we can, and this love that we truly can't define, and this love that should break us every time. And I know it breaks me when I really think about what He did for me, and what He has done for you, and what He's done for this whole world. It breaks me. I am undone. And I want to tell you, when the Son seen this love, it changed Him from the inside out. This love that He was experiencing, that His Father should have cast Him out. This love does something to us. This love should change us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." John 3 tells us we're born again, right? You read on through John. It speaks of the sanctification process, us becoming more like Jesus Christ every day. Meaning, this love that we experience drives us to the cross. This love drives us to reach out to others that may be wandering in this dark world. We see the cross, we see the empty tomb, and this is nice, a passion of fire burning in our soul to go out into the world and reach those with the gospel. And closing this out, I want to ask you, where's your heart, my friend? Maybe you can relate to this Son. You may have experienced this lie that Satan likes to inject in our lives, that God is holding out on you. This is just how Satan operates. If we are truly getting into God's Word, we will see this. This lie was just part of the lie with Adam and Eve, that God was holding out on them. You can read through Genesis 1 through 3 to get the full impact, full understanding how deceptive Satan is, and of course, rests throughout God's beautiful Word. But they believe this lie, and today we feel the consequence of Adam and Eve's disobedience, believing this lie that Satan was speaking in their life. I personally fall into this lie. It caused me a lot of pain. And the parable of the prodigal son shows that he believed this lie, and it caused him a lot of pain. This should caution you and us that Satan has no good for us. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And through God's Word, God provides us warnings. And He is warning us today that priorities in our life needs to match up with His. I do not know where you're adding your faith in God, but I'm here to tell you, I know that God knows, right? He is watching you all through the week, and He knows where your heart is at. He knows where your heart is beating for. You may be one step away from walking in a path that He does not want you to walk. Satan may be feeding you lie after lie that's clouding your mind, clouding your judgment. But just look at God's word and heed the warnings of this parable. This son, he thought there was something better out there. He demands his portion, his inheritance from his father that truly was not his at that point in time. He takes that inheritance, he goes to a faraway country, and what does he do? He burns it up with sinful lifestyle, immoral, inappropriate. And he's broke. And what happens is famine comes on that land. And he's left with the basic need of food. He can't afford it. He ends up working for a citizen that is now he's out there feeding the swines. He is eating the swine food, the pig's food. And it is not filling him. He is still empty. He is still hopeless. And it all boils down that he believed the lie that in his father's house that his father was holding out on him is the same lie that Adam and Eve believed, right? That the father is holding out on them. Satan, what he does, he injects this lie. He says, look at that tree in the middle of the garden, Eve. And Adam was right there with her. And why can't you just go over there and take a bite? Why are you? And then she goes into this dialogue with him. But she should have been confirming God's word and said, God's word said, thus said God's word, get behind me, Satan. But no, she believed that tree was something God was holding out, deliberately keeping her from and Adam from. But oh, when they took the bite, what happens? Fall humanity, fall the curse. Sin comes into this world and we live under this curse. Right? We live under the pain of His curse. We feel this every day as we wake up. And I know the older I get, the more pain I feel. And my body aches, right? And it's just the process of getting older. And that is part of the curse. Because they didn't feel the pain that we feel until they took. Till they disobeyed. Till they rebelled. The prodigal son felt the pain of his rebellion. He comes to himself and he recognizes that in his father's house, even the servants they don't hunger like I am hunger. They are satisfied. And he goes, he comes to the end of himself, he looks, he says, I will go to my father's house, I will just be a servant, I am no longer deserve to be a son, I will be a servant, I will be able to eat, I will just serve my father and my older brother, but the grace and the mercy of God, as long as you have breath in your body, God will greet you with open arms. No matter how far you go, if you come back, the son had a repentance He repented. He recognized the error of his way. He said, I sinned against heaven and my Father. See, his heart condition was changing. And when he goes back to his father's house, the father greets him with open arms. And he hugs him. He kisses him. He's celebrating that his son is back. Why? Because his son was lost and now he is found. Son was dead. Now he is alive. And this love transforms this son. This love is so transforming and to this son that I truly believe, you know, that what Jesus is trying to press is when we truly get his love, his grace, his mercy, we will recognize the world cannot even compare. When we recognize that, our heart is beating for God. We recognize that this world will only do pain beyond what we can imagine. We recognize that we are only passing through this world. This place is not our home. We are waiting for our ultimate home, be it when Jesus comes back to this world, or if today was our last day, if we are His, we're waiting for a home that is going to be so much beauty that we will not have no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. We will not age. We will be living forever, and we recognize at that end. Our best life really begins when we physically die. If we're a child of God, we won't spiritually die. We will be spiritually alive. We recognize that will be our best life, and we will continue that life to eternity, which is beyond what you can imagine. It has no time limit. It's unlimited. So when we see the pain in this life that we're suffering from the curse of this world, and it can be very intense even for us as children of God, as disciples, we will feel pain and suffering in this world, but we recognize it's only temporary. It will not last forever. And I want to ask you today, where is your heart? What is your heart condition? Does it beat for God? Or does it beat for this world? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just get into your word. Lord, I pray over those that are hearing this message that they reflect on where their heartbeat is at. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit just invades their life right now. Open their eyes to the truth of their life. I pray, Lord, that they get the understanding that this life is so temporary. It can be gone tomorrow in a flash, and our eternity will begin in one place or the other, heaven or hell. And I pray, Lord, that those that are not yours, that they will go back to this parable and they will start reading over it and praying over it. And this will lead them to getting deeper into your word. And Lord, I pray, Lord, place people in their life that are truly yours to expound the gospel to them, to direct them to the path that leads straight to you. Lord, I pray as we close this out, God, that those that are listening, Lord, that if they need to hear more, they can go to this website and they can listen to many messages on salvation. Very thorough expounding of God's word. And that they write the scriptures down and they go back and they reflect and they pray over them. And they pray that the Holy Spirit, which is the ultimate teacher, the ultimate comforter, the ultimate guide, illuminating, lighting our path, opening our eyes to the truth, revealing the lies of the enemy, preparing our hearts for battle, creating us to be soldiers to press on. God, we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you guys. Once again, a way you can reach out to me is through Facebook. Links on this I don't think are working, but you can email me. I can send you my Facebook link, Twitter, or Instagram. But probably the best way to ask any questions is through Facebook. Private message me. Once again, you can email me. If you do, just put Crucify for Christ Ministry in the subject heading, so if it does go to spam or junk mail, I'll be able to identify it and pull it up. I check my junk spam mail maybe once a month. And all the material on this website is free. I actually got approval to put a, I'm going to try to do it today. There's a PDF file for a spiritual warfare manual, another one I went through. I got the approval from their website that I didn't write it, to be able to put it on here. So I'm going to try to get that posted for you guys so y'all can go on there and go through that spiritual warfare manual too. I have another manual on here too, which I need to get back on there and get it a little bit better organized, but it's all free. I've got several messages on spiritual warfare, over 50 hours of spiritual warfare message scattered throughout, maybe more, through these sermons. So I encourage you guys, check them out. Check out the spiritual warfare Bible study, and I'm going to try to put this other one up. I'm going to try that today. I don't know how that's going to turn out. But all is free. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day, your night, your weekend, or week. Bye.